was interesting this week as I was packing up some books from my library. About a month or so ago, Al Serhall of Hippo Valley Christian Mission sent out an email, well, I guess it was on Facebook, looking for preachers to donate books to the new Bible college that's being started in Zimbabwe. And he's going later this month to take a big shipment of furniture and any books that anybody would donate. So this week I boxed up four boxes of books from my library. It made a dent, but so we're going to see him tomorrow to donate those. So, what pointed me telling you that was so that while I was looking, as we were singing this morning, I forgot that I even had this on my bookshelf. I have some very old books. Well, this was a hymn book from 1887. So Rhonda has it now. So it's neat. You know, it's interesting how it was put together and all the dark pages, they've all turned dark brown. But it does remind us that from what Ed was saying too, that the church just keeps going on until the Lord comes and brings everything to an end. Because it's our God that we trust. And generations before us have trusted God. And as long as the Lord tarries, generations after us will also be faithful to God. We sometimes worry about what will tomorrow bring. But the Lord already knows, and He always looks after His people. And that's kind of what I want to get across today as we look at this from Matthew 14. It's that window right there. Jesus walking on the water. I've heard sermons on this off and on over the years at conferences and all. And I would sit there and just shake my head because I thought they missed the point. And as I put this together, I realized they were touching the point but still missing it. You know how you think you get the idea but you kind of miss the mark? But I think Jesus' words are what really stands out here, and then the attitude of Peter when he fails. So I'm going to read from Matthew 14, beginning in verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This part of Jesus' ministry, his life, the life of the apostles, always kind of made me smile. Because to me, of all the dumb things that Peter is recorded of doing or saying, this has to be one of the dumbest. I mean, think about it. He's in the boat with 11 other guys that he hangs out with. And they see what they think is a ghost. And this vision of a person, this specter or whatever it was, said, "Take courage, it's me. It's me, guys." And Peter says, this is the dumb part, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Now, if I was some kind of specter, some kind of ghost, and I wanted to really scare these guys, I'd say, "Sure, come." It just always seemed to me a dumb thing to say. "Let me walk to you on the water, if it's you." I don't know, it makes no sense to me. Except it was Peter. Peter was always impetuous. He cared deeply, he believed deeply, but he could speak before he thought. And I think this was one of those circumstances. And I'm sure the other 11 guys kind of looked at him like I do, like, "What? Are you nuts?" But he gets out of the water because Jesus said so. Well, some things to think about in this, because the focus is always Jesus. And when I've heard sermons on this before, the sermons have been about Peter. But the focus must always be Jesus. Because if he's not the focus, then what will happen to us will be what happened to Peter. So it's really late. It's in the wee hours of the morning. The disciples have seen Jesus do miracles, all kinds of miracles, sight to the blind, strength to those who were crippled. He has raised the dead, and he's fed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and fish. And after doing that, Jesus had told them, "You guys go on across the Sea of Galilee on your own. I need time alone to pray. I'll catch up to you." And I'm sure in their wildest dreams, they never pictured Jesus walking on the water. They thought, oh, he must be going to come around the far side, so that means we've got a lot of time to ourselves. But as they're crossing the lake, we know from other passages that a storm came up, and it was more just a wind, but the waves were just, you know, like they do when it's windy on the water. And so these guys, who most of them were fishermen or knew enough about fishing, they're trying to get across, but the wind is against them. And so when they should have already been across, they were still out in the water. Because, you know, and they'd already put in a full day. It's in the wee hours of the morning, so I'm sure they're fatigued as well. And so I think the result, or the purpose of their reaction, the reason for their reaction, it's a ghost, was probably because they were very tired. But at any rate, they didn't expect to see Jesus. But Jesus said, "Take courage, it is I." That should have been, and it was meant to be comforting for his disciples. But do we find courage? Do we find comfort? Do we cease to fear when we realize that Jesus is with us through life? You know, we go through a lot of struggles. We go through heartbreaks. We have times of great doubt and fear, and that's all normal. But do we take courage in Jesus? We should. We should always turn to Jesus in prayer, seeking his help, his guidance, and then trust him. Find comfort in him. And then do like what Peter did. Ask. Ask God for help. Peter wanted to get out on the water. He says, "Let me come to you, Lord." And I think for every one of us, when we first realized our need for Jesus, we wanted to come to Jesus. We wanted to give him our life. We wanted to devote ourselves to him. But somewhere along the way, as Jesus says, "Come," and we begin to follow Jesus, we look around us and we see all the terrors of the world, just like Peter. Started walking on the water toward Jesus. But what did he do? He started to look around. He was afraid of his environment. He was afraid of the wind. He was afraid of the waves. And you and I, when we're going through life, sometimes we look around us and we get scared because of what's going on in the world. And sometimes we get sucked in to the temptations of this world and become a part of it. Just like Peter began to sink. And he called out to the Lord, "Save me." See, Peter got caught up in what was on around him. And so what would happen naturally began to happen. He was going to sink and drown. And sometimes I think for you and I, when we ask Jesus into our life and we begin to follow him, we get caught up in the things of this world. We can ask the Lord for help. But the question is, do we mean it when we ask for help? Now, obviously for Peter, he realized this, "I'm going to die. Help!" And the Lord was right there. He didn't keep his eyes on Jesus. And so for you and I, When we think about our own lives, we get caught up. We do get caught up in the things of this world. We get caught up in the fears. We get caught up in all of the drama that goes on. We get caught up in the melodrama of our lives. Sometimes we get caught up in sin. We get caught up in addiction. We get caught up in so many different things in this life. And we can call out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. But while I'm waiting on you to do that, I'll try to save myself. We don't always appreciate the fact that Jesus is right here with us always. And so when we make decisions, we make decisions so often out of habit, out of fear, out of the way everybody else in the world looks at things. We can become so much like the world that we look around and we're fearful. But we're fearful because we've taken our eyes off Jesus. Jesus reached out, took him by the hand, and immediately they climbed into the boat. Jesus didn't hang around. He didn't hang around. But what he said, I think, is very important here. First he says, take courage. But then he says, you of little faith. You of little faith, why did you doubt? I think there's two parts to that. You of little faith. In essence, Jesus was telling Peter, you have seen everything I have done. You've seen all the miracles. You've heard my teaching. You know you're one of my disciples. You know and already know that I am the Messiah. So why did you take your eyes off of me? See, Peter knew Jesus. Didn't fully understand yet, but he knew enough about Jesus to trust him. Peter walked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, spent his days with Jesus, watching, observing, helping. And he still was scared by the world. For you and I, we have to look at ourselves too and ask, how strong is my faith? Because we don't see Jesus physically. So the only way for us to really know Jesus is twofold. One, to know him in his word. Jesus has been revealed to us through eyewitnesses and through the Holy Spirit. All we need to know about Jesus and what he is and what he does for us is found in Scripture. And if we want to keep our eyes on the Lord and safe from the lures of this world and the death of this world, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. But if we're not growing in our knowledge of him, we're not keeping our eyes on him, are we? And so when life's troubles come, when dangers come, when challenges come, when we are going through life and we're struggling, we can't seem to get the help we need, maybe it's because we do not know Jesus. Because he's right here with us. His Spirit is within us as Christians. So first off, how strong is our faith? And then he said, why did you doubt? They already told him why. You have little faith. Your faith wasn't strong enough. But then he challenged him. Why did you doubt? He's underscoring the fact that Peter didn't exemplify enough faith. Why did you doubt? And you know, as Christians, it's easy for us to doubt too. The Lord understands that, but it's easy for us to doubt. Because we live in this world, and we see all the dangers of this world, and a lot of it is quite scary. When we're dealing with death, that can be quite scary. When we're dealing with some of the issues of this world, and we know there are people out there to scam us, to harm us, to cheat us, you know, governments everywhere want to abuse their people. It's a scary, evil-filled world. But do we know the one who saves us? Do we know the one who has said, I'm here. talk to me, because that's the second part. Having regular communication with Jesus. Sometimes we pray so little that we're praying to someone we probably don't really know very well. But when we're knowing the Lord and we talk to Him, we can talk to someone that we have confidence in and know that He answers our prayers and He cares about us. In Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Now, I put that to the test, and I still have not received my Ferrari. But that's not obviously what he's talking about. He's talking about what he was trying to get across to Peter and those who were watching and listening. He said, if we trust God, that means we know Him. If we trust Jesus, that means we know Him. And so when we ask of Him, according to our need and our desires, we're going to be asking according to what God values, to what God wants to give. And to be honest, God's blessed us with some decent cars over the years. Only one was a throwaway. It was the worst car I think ever made. Ford Tempo. It was in the garage more than it was on the road. I don't need a Ferrari. But I do need transportation. God always blesses and gives us what we need. And I think sometimes when we think about this, Jesus said a mountain. If you have enough faith, you can move mountains. But he was talking figuratively because sometimes in our lives, we have mountains that we must overcome. We must get over, get beyond, get around somehow. It might be some kind of addiction. It might be some disappointment that haunts us all our life. It might be something that happened to us when we were kids growing up that just still hounds us as adults and inhibits us. Whatever it might be drug addiction, it might be alcoholism. There's so many other things that people can be addicted to. And when we turn to Jesus and we call for help, the most important thing to do is to keep our eyes on Jesus. And Jesus says, if you have enough faith, is if you trust me, because you know who I am and what I'm about, what you ask will be done. Now, I don't know how long it takes to move a mountain. I'm sure God can move it instantly. For us, you know, with the proper equipment and whatnot, to move a whole mountain might take a few years. And I think sometimes in our lives, the mountains in our lives that we seek God's help for just don't want to move very fast. But that's not God's fault, that's ours. Because just like Peter, we keep looking around instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus. Will I ever get beyond this addiction? And so we focus upon the addiction rather than Jesus. Will I ever solve my marital problems? And we focus on that rather than keeping our eyes on Jesus. It doesn't mean we ignore those things, but who's the source of our help? Well, it's Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to do with my economic problem. And we sit around and we stew about our economics instead of looking to Jesus and saying, Lord, I trust you. And then look for what he's going to do. Because that's part of it. We pray and then don't look to see what Jesus is going to do. Now, Peter, when he cried out, Lord, save me, I don't know if he looked over at Jesus or not, or if he was still looking at the waves and the wind. But immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and chastised him immediately. I think sometimes, because Jesus is reaching out his hand, we don't really want him to help because we don't trust him enough. And so we struggle in this life. But I think the reality is that we do call out to God more often than not. and God is there to help us. But after He helps us, we start looking again at the world, at the dangers, at the sorrows, because our world doesn't end. Peter and Jesus got back in the boat, but you and I, we continue to live in this world. We're still in the water. And we don't leave this water until the day we leave this life. And so today, yesterday, tomorrow, Jesus may save us from something as we look to Him and trust Him. But what about a week from now, or a month from now, or a year from now? The best way to be prepared for life's troubles is to keep knowing the Lord more and more. And then as we go through those life struggles, it's easier to turn to Him, put our eyes upon Him if they've wandered, and find the courage and strength that we need. We must never doubt that Jesus will see us through. Even if we're taking on a project, sometimes we can sit around and say, oh, can we do this? Can we afford this? I think I've mentioned it before, but I remember sitting, having a meeting with our church there in New Jersey, and we needed a building. We'd bought land, but we needed a building. We all sat there and thought, are we ever going to be able to afford this? This is costing so much more than what our weekly offerings and monthly offerings are. How are we going to do this? And so the answer was, does the Lord's kingdom need this building and this church here? Does it need to be able to minister to its community and to one another? And the answer was yes. So if it's something that benefits God's kingdom, we just need to trust Him. And you know what? That building got built. And we started Faith Promise Missions. So not only did we build a building that was going to cost double what our regular offerings were, we also increased our missions giving from $2,000 a year to $18,000 a year, all in the same year. All in the same year. And in the years I was there, 15 years after we did all that, never missed a mortgage payment. I always got paid. A couple times a little late, but always got paid. And they paid off the mortgage 5 years early. You see, when we trust God, we look to Him and say, Lord, we see the value of this. I see the value of this in my own life. It's in keeping with Your will, we know. And so, Lord, we're going to trust You. We're not going to do anything stupid. We're not going to ask for something too far beyond us. But we're going to trust, Lord, that everything is within Your ability. And God provides. God provides. And the naysayers are those who will say, oh, but we can't do this. But if you ever find yourself saying, we can't do this, stop and think about the Israelites. After they had received the law on Mount Sinai, and they went to the Promised Land, and they saw, oh, there are giants here. They're more fortified. You know, we can't do it. And two said, yes, we can. But 10 said, no, we can't. And because they didn't trust God, they didn't trust His ability to keep His promises, because He's sending them there. Like, duh, that should have been duh. Here we are. Let's go. But no. And God let them wander another 38 years, 40 total, in the wilderness until that entire generation of adults, above 18, die off. And it was the next generation that were allowed to go in. You see, God time and time again shows us in Scripture, if you believe, He will provide. The building, second building of the temple. You know, the Old Testament is full of examples of people saying it can't be done, and God saying, yes, it can, because I'm going to provide through my people. And people who have had issues, health issues, the man who was lowered down from the roof because he was a paralytic, and his friends lowered him down on this mat, they had faith Jesus could. Could they save help their friend? No. Could the friend help himself? No. But they believed, they knew enough about Jesus that he could. And that's really what it comes down to. Do we really know Jesus? And if so, do we trust him enough with our life? The things that can scare us. Jesus says, you know, we live in a scary world. You know, we would be foolish not to acknowledge those things. But are we able to sleep at night because we know that we have Jesus with us? Do we believe that our God is greater than all the evil in this world put together? Do we believe? And I tell you, members of this congregation who have gone on to be with the Lord have had such strong faith. Knowing where they're going, knowing who holds their hand, knowing who's going to welcome them the moment they draw their last breath. There's a confidence, a trust that cannot be shaken. But I've been with people who were dying, who were scared to death, and not knowing what was going to happen. And others who were still flippant about God, still flippant about things, and were going to find out the truth after it was too late. See, if we keep our eyes on the Lord early in our life, it helps us later in life. But even if we find the Lord later in life, whenever we find him and we look to him, we find the comfort and the guidance and the help and the confidence in him that we need. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We sang, I want to know you more. That should be something we should be saying every day. Lord, I want to know you more. Even Paul said that. Paul, of all people, said, I long to know the Lord more and to share in his sufferings and to share in his work. And that should be our desire as well, to keep growing in our knowledge of the Lord, because it's through that knowledge that we are set free from fear, control of Satan. The more we know him, the better off we are, and the more connected we are to our Lord. Have faith in God, Jesus said. Do not doubt in your heart, but believe. And when we do, just like Peter, we will be rescued from the struggles of this life. Because we're not perfect. We struggle. We sin. We have fears. We have doubts. But the Lord is saying, keep your eyes on me. And one day you'll leave this water and you'll be with me forever. But in the meantime, I will keep saving you from every fear, from every doubt, until that day when you're with me and I will wipe away every tear and comfort you and be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You kept your eyes on me. Right now we're going to sing a song called Let It Be Said of Us, that the Lord was our passion. And I think of King David, because, you know, we're all sinners, and I don't know about you, but so often I find, Lord, I'm just not worthy. Why do I belong to you? Why did you want me? Because there's enough wrong with me that I wouldn't want me. And yet, here I am. And I think it's when I look at King David and I see his passion for the Lord. You read the Psalms, you read about life, David's life, his love for the Lord. But kind of in the middle of his life, or a little beyond the middle, David takes his eyes off the Lord. Instead of doing what he's supposed to do, and David was certainly not a perfect person. There's a lot of things about David that, you know, you and I shudder about when we read it. But he committed adultery, guilty of murder, terrible things. Two things in Scripture that were punishable by death. But when he came to his senses, when a prophet came to him, David immediately repented and went to God in prayer, asking to be cleansed. Why? Was it just selfishness on David's part? I don't think so. I think it was a passion he had for the Lord, that he realized how far he had fallen and what he had done in this sin, and his desire was to be in fellowship with God again. To be forgiven, not just for himself, but for the relationship with the God, to know this great God now and forever. David had a passion for God, wanted to serve God. And God, being gracious, forgave. David still had to deal with consequences here and now, but like we all do, but he was forgiven. And that's the thing for us to keep in mind. No matter what our struggles, when we sincerely seek God, our passion is for Him, God forgives. And He continues to work in us and through us in His kingdom. Let's stand together, shall we, to sing, "Let It Be Said of Us."